Welcome to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Thanks for listening. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. And we begin the hour with a question. Are real estate buyers and lenders ignoring the rising threat climate change poses in Florida? One scientist says yes.
Yeah, an expert on the impact of climate change on financial markets says no one should get 30-year mortgages anymore in the entire state of Florida. Imagine that. He says eventually making a home loan for 30 years here in the Sunshine State will just be too risky.
Now, Spencer Glendon of the Woods Hole Research Institute made these remarks, Tom, at an investor conference in New York last week. So here's a question, Florida. Are you looking for a home? Looking to sell, maybe? Is climate change and the higher cost of living here maybe driving your decision? What are your questions about this? Give us a call right now on the Florida Roundup at 305-995-1800 or tweet us at Florida Roundup. We will get to those calls and tweets in a moment, so get on the line now. But first, Glendon says financial institutions are going to wreck Florida's economy if they don't confront the risk to coastal real estate and quickly change their ways. I spoke with him yesterday. Spencer Glendon, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
You made a lot of waves recently when you sounded the alarm about real estate lenders and investors in Florida, you say, are ignoring the rising threat that climate change poses here, specifically when it comes to providing mortgages at 30-year lengths of time, which is the typical amount of time, and by buying long-term debt. You're saying this could pose financial calamity for Florida. Can you explain in a little more detail what your research shows around this issue?
Sure. So what I'm trying to help people understand is that what maybe seem like a long time horizon or something that's far away actually isn't far away, because we make lots of decisions in our everyday lives that seem short term. But the foundation of society, of modern life, is a set of assumptions. And the one that I think is easiest to get people to understand is the 30-year mortgage. So it's the foundation of the housing market. It's also 30 years is the time horizon on which the U.S. government often borrows, and that's often used for municipal bonds for things like sewer systems and water purification and electricity supply, things like that, hospitals. And anytime there's a 30-year debt, and the mortgage is the easiest example again, there's a set of provisions within the 30-year debt that 30-year debt will be violated if you breach some condition. And so the condition that I think will be breached in Florida is that of insurability. So you have a lot of places in Florida that are increasingly under risk of flooding, and they're increasingly under risk of having a kind of erosion of the infrastructure that Florida depends on because the ocean is rising and because it's warmer and because the air is warmer. So let me give you a couple of specific examples. When you have a 30-year mortgage for your home, you have a condition that you need to have insurance. That insurance isn't for 30 years, though. It's renewed annually. And at any point in time, the insurers can say, actually, we're no longer offering insurance where you are. That's a very real risk. And as I talk to both insurance companies and reinsurance companies, that is the companies that insure the retail insurance companies, they say increasingly, we're not going to be in these markets.
They're telling you we're not going to be in these markets, i.e. the Florida market, right?
That's right.
So I guess the question I have and many other Floridians have is, when does that happen? When does that tipping point occur?
Things that are a 1 in 20 year event or a 5% risk are essentially uninsurable in most parts of the world. That's too often for an insurance company to want to intervene and have to deal with claims, and it's too often for them to have faith that the borrower, the in this case the insurer, will act accordingly. And so insurance markets dry up once things become more than a 1 or 2% chance. In most of Florida, I think that's most of coastal Florida, that threshold's already been breached. And so I think that any day insurance could dry up in many places for flooding, for nuisance flooding in particular. But more importantly, that should be relevant for new buyers. So the Florida economy is largely built on the promise of continued in-migration. And when new buyers arrive, they need to borrow for an additional 30 years. And what I think will actually dry up is the supply of loans will dry up in anticipation of when the insurance will dry up. So as long as we know that insurance will dry up with any confidence in the next 20 years. Today, no one should lend for 30. And once there aren't 30-year loans available on a regular basis, whether they're from Fannie Mae or a traditional bank, the Florida property market will be in trouble.
You're describing a cascading, spiraling effect that could pull Florida's economy, honestly, into a tailspin. If mortgagers refuse to write a 30-year mortgage, if insurers refuse to insure, if the real estate market collapses, creating, you know, a ripple effect into other industries, other pillars of the economy. This, as you said, this is a state built on tourism and real estate and growth and development. And so your warning is dire enough that it has gotten a lot of attention in the national media. At the same time, what's so remarkable here in Florida, Dr. Glendon, is that most of the players in this space are proceeding as though it's just business as usual. What about that?
It's a remarkable thing. And I'm doing this work not because I want bad things to happen in Florida. Indeed, quite the opposite. I would like it to be the case that people start preparing now, because the cascade you describe is exactly right. Florida is especially vulnerable with zero income tax. It depends overly on real estate relative to most places and on construction.
Okay, so if Florida is especially vulnerable due to all these factors and people should start preparing now, what should the average homeowner that's listening to you right now, or someone who's thinking about buying a property in Florida, how should we prepare?
I think that living in Florida probably remains a viable option for a long time. How long exactly is unclear. And so with only a few feet of rise of sea level, you'll have real problems in all of Florida. People should start preparing for that. The one way to prepare is not to take debt on it, pay down their mortgages and or sell. I wish it weren't the case that everyone should sell, but renting in Florida makes perfect sense. Owning in Florida makes much less. The other is that it's a huge political problem. You see, as the ocean gets higher, it gets heavier and it infiltrates the land. Florida is principally made up of porous limestone, and the aquifers on which Floridians depend are starting to become saline. And actually, as one of your former governors told me in person, almost all the toilets flush into the ocean. And as the ocean gets higher, it puts more pressure on those sewage systems. Those municipalities are going to have to prepare for a much more challenging physical environment. And so I think that climate change and adaptation should be a local issue, a congressional issue, a government, a statewide governor issue. And Florida should be asking the U.S. government and others in the country to start preparing both in terms of mitigation, lowering CO2 emissions down to zero, and adaptation.
And some municipalities are going after that more aggressively than others here in Florida. As you just said, you don't think 30-year mortgages should be written in this state anymore. You think people who can sell their homes should sell their homes. What happens, though, if people come to this kind of belated realization and they all start trying to sell their homes at once? Who's going to want to buy them?
Well, part of the reason for me to do this work is that the longer we wait to start this process, the messier it will certainly be. The population of Florida has gone up enormously in the last two decades, with people investing in that place and new infrastructure going in right at the coast. In fact, in many ways, Florida has become more coastal over the last 20 years, which is quite amazing in the face of the fact that the ocean is coming to greet them by rising itself. And so part of the reason for me to do this work publicly is to make people understand the sooner we start the process of unwinding some of these misallocated capital, the less painful it will be. I'm sorry that climate change is going to be painful for many people, and I don't think there will be many winners at all. But if we start acknowledging some of the misplaced capital now and misplaced expectations now, the adjustment will be easier. The longer we wait to start adjusting, the more painful it will be.
Spencer Glendon, PhD, a climate research analyst with the Woods Hole Research Center. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Climate risk, climate cost, and real estate. Is it affecting your neighborhood? Is it affecting where you live now, where you would like to live in the next decade? How is your home insured? How has that insurance changed? 305-995-1800, our statewide phone number, 305-995-1800, or at Florida Roundup on Twitter. Kevin McCarty knows a thing or two about insuring the homes of Floridians. He served as the state's insurance commissioner for 13 years, regulating the industry through the busy storm years of 2004 and 5. You remember those storms, Katrina, Wilma, Charlie, and others. He's the chairman today of the Florida Association for Insurance Reform, and he joins us via FaceTime from Tallahassee. Mr. McCarty, welcome to Florida Public Radio. Thanks for your time today. Is a 30-year home mortgage a fool's bargain in Florida today?
Well, that's difficult to conclude based upon the information we have right now. You know, it wasn't that long ago after 2004 and 5 that the reinsurance market dried up, and many people believe we wouldn't be able to have traditional insurance in Florida. But, you know, the marketplace settled out. We had an influx of capital after the financial crisis, largely due to the influx of capital for insurance-linked securities, which provided another, you know, avenue for mm-hmm. funding. So it's difficult to say with any certainty that, you know, give up on Florida because, you know, there's no capital to support, you know, the continuing growth. You know, it certainly does raise an issue that Florida needs to be cognizant of in terms of rising sea levels.
The previous guest's point was less about insurance, saying that there will probably still exist to be the ability to have insurance. To pay for it is another question, but it's the supply of mortgages. Banks just may not be willing to lend to a buyer who is buying a property in the state of Florida.
Well, I mean, that's interesting to me because there's a huge number of homes in California that are provided mortgages that they don't have earthquake coverage. There are, you know, millions and millions of dollars worth of mortgage property in California that are on fault lines that don't have, simple protection of an earthquake coverage. We know earthquakes are going to happen in mm-hmm. California. It's not if, but when. And when it happens, it will be devastating. Yet the mortgage industry continues to provide mortgages in California. I would say that you can certainly look at that in the same way. I mean, there is, unless something happens dramatically to shift the burden to the banks to actually have to pay for that, they haven't had to in the past.
Mr. McCarty, let me ask you, I mean, the average mortgage in the United States, while it's lent for 30 years, actually only lasts about 5 or 7 years. Commercial right. mortgages, when these real estate developers look to develop oceanfront or waterside property, which is the most expensive and thus has the most reward, also the most risk, those loans tend to be 3 or 5 years in time. Are the incentives just wrong right now in terms of real estate in the state of Florida when it comes to acknowledging in a real way and really addressing the true risk of climate change? Because that risk is 30, 40, 50 years down the line.
Well, I think it's fair to say that Florida as a state has not sufficiently addressed the issue of rising water as a result of climate change. I think there have been some efforts made at the local level, particularly in Southeast Florida. Mm-hmm. Miami Beach in particular has made, you know, a Herculean effort to pump water and build an infrastructure in response to that. But you're right, we continue... thousands of people continue to move to Florida weekly and continue to add to the, you know, the insurable risk in Florida. And that risk is, and a lot of that, is, as our previous guest said, is concentrated within 50 miles of the coast. Mm-hmm. So, but that tends to be the more attractive area, which it defies the logic when it comes to the potential for disaster from rising water.
So speaking with Kevin McCarty, the former insurance commissioner here in the state of Florida, talking about climate change and property, your phone calls at 305-995-1800 coming up in just a moment here. But Kevin, I wanted to ask you, finally, we're on the eve of another storm season. Insurance rates in the state of Florida, some I know are going to call in and argue with this, but have been relatively stable, even with Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Michael and Hurricanes Matthew and Hermine over the last couple of sessions, because there's lots of money that's willing to take the risk still in Florida. What's going to change that risk scenario, though?
Well, I mean, it came about very quickly. It came as a result of the financial crisis because, you know, people decided that things risk weren't as non-correlated. And hurricane risk in Florida created a huge influx of money for that to back that. So right now, there hasn't been any. No storm has really made that difference. But yes, you can certainly see a series of storms or events that happen over a protracted period of time that make the, and if the other thing, if interest rates go up, because the interest rates have been so low, that money has been flowing into this, and that's been another factor.
Yeah, it's the flow of international money into Florida willing to take on that risk, Melissa. Lots of phone calls here. 305-995-1800 is the phone number.
Yeah, no surprise. So many people have questions about their property, their long-term risk, the value of their homes, or their commercial property. Let's go to some of your calls right now here on the Florida Roundup, beginning with Patrick in Tampa. Hey, Patrick, thanks for your call. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me. I was just calling to say that I think that the insurance situation has already actually happened to my parents. So they moved here way back in 1991, and they had a mortgage that they've now paid off. But during that time, insurance has, of course, gone up. But it's gone up to the point where they can't afford it anymore. So now they're sitting in their house. The mortgage is paid off, but they don't have.
But it's not insurable.
Are
they in a low lying area? Are they in a flood prone area?
It's not in. Well, it's kind of. It's on Merritt Island, so it's not like technically low lying, but it's on an island. So yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I guess the thing I'm wondering is like, you know, what are we going to go from here? Because like right now they're just kind of sitting in their house hoping that, you know, nothing horrible happens. And
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Patrick,
like,
I hear you. And, you know, I own a home in Florida myself. I think so many of us have these questions. And so for Patrick's parents, that's Patrick in Tampa. Thank you for that call. Okay, Kevin McCarty, our insurance expert here. This is the scenario homeowners are worried about and some are already experiencing, that they will simply lose insurability, that they will not be able to secure insurance for their home, which will make it impossible to sell. What answer can we give these folks? And what sort of contingency plans do you think the state should be making to get out in front of this? Because as we heard from our previous guest, he's advising we get out in front of this more aggressively than we are here in Florida.
Well, I mean, when it comes to the issue of rising sea levels, there's no question that, you know, the state has not made the a comprehensive effort to address that. But if you're looking at the insurability, and you go back to your original question about insurability, you know, I think we look back to 2006, and the two biggest issues in the political campaign were the rising costs of insurance and the rising cost of property taxes. And, you know, insurance was one of the top issues on the minds of consumers, and it drove that governor's election and a number of the elections. And I think that's why they expanded the CAT fund to address that at that time. As we have already said, a lot of capital is in the market right now. We haven't seen that kind of rate instability or capital lack of capital that would create the kind of problem you're talking about. That doesn't mean it can't happen, absolutely. And that's why things need to be done to make our communities more resilient and therefore more insurable in the voluntary market.
Kevin McCarty is the former insurance commissioner here in the state of Florida. Today, he is the chairman of the Florida Association for Insurance Reform. Kevin, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Insurability, livability, the cost of living near or on the coast. That's what we're talking about, the cost of climate change and your home or your apartment. Have you sold your home and are a renter in Florida because of the climate? 305-995-1800. More from the Florida Roundup after this.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for being with us this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville.
And I'm Tom Hudson in Miami. The Memorial Day weekend just ahead of us. It is going to be a hot one here in Florida. The hurricane storm season, of course, begins in a week. We've already seen that first named storm. It lasted less than a day, but it is still an awful reminder of course, the months ahead.
Yeah, and every year they're coming earlier and earlier, Tom, which is not encouraging. You know, we don't like to see that. But this week, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration forecast an almost normal, whatever we can call that in terms of the percentage of storms, but a busy Atlantic hurricane season. Here's NOAA forecaster Jerry Bell.
9 to 15 named storms is a lot. 4 to 8 hurricanes is a lot. 2 to 4 major hurricanes is a lot. So the key message is we're expecting a near normal season, but regardless, that's a lot of activity. You need to start getting prepared for the hurricane season now.
And of course, all Floridians know the mantra, it only takes one, right? So how is the threat of storms, stronger storms, more rain, more frequent rain, all of this affecting your cost of living? Is insurance getting too expensive for your home? Can you even get insurance? Do you want to have insurance but can't afford it? 305-995-1800. 305-995-1800 at Florida Roundup on Twitter. More of your phone calls here. We will continue in the panhandle. Alex is there. Alex, I imagine you've got some very recent experience with Hurricane Michael in the panhandle.
Yes, sir, and thank you for taking my call. Actually, I'm in Apalachicola, Florida, and we're still dealing with Hurricane Michael, of course. Our infrastructure, Highway 98, goes right along the coast there. So as a potential first-time buyer, I'm sort of nervous as can I even leave my home or get to my home and, you know, with our infrastructure down still from, you know, 6 months ago. It's a little nerve-wracking. I'm wondering what, you know, what our state is prepared to do with that, you know, especially with the highway right along the coast.
Yeah, great question. I mean, yeah. Where are you in the purchase process?
We're about to close last week, but it's been postponed. But
So you've got your insurance and any flood insurance already lined up, Alex?
No, sir. We're not in a flood zone, so that's another issue with the rising seas. Potentially, we may be beachfront sooner or later.
I'll tell you what. When you talk to people that stress the importance of flood insurance, they will say, in effect, the whole state is a flood zone.
Right.
Even if you're not in one officially, they recommend you get that flood insurance policy anyway. $500 or $600 can save you hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, if you can, I'd say get that flood insurance, even though, you know, it might seem like an unnecessary outlay.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, the other issue is the industry here is mainly seafood, so we're not the richest county, Franklin County, such as like Dade County or Miami. So, you know, it's taken a long time even to recover, and we don't make a lot up in the panhandle, so... we're pinching pennies almost as well.
Sure.
Yeah. Right.
And
thanks, Alex.
Hear it. Thank you, Alex, for that. And lots of calls on this. Let's go to Renee in Miami Lakes. Hey, Renee, you're on the Florida Roundup. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. So I recently bought a home about 3 years ago. I would say recent. I've done some major upgrades because I'm thinking about making this like as much as a fortress as I can, obviously. With the last hurricane that came by, everyone was going up north. And, you know, it would take like 8 hours to get to Orlando, mm-hmm. so forth. So, you know, with all this investment that's done, you know, on everyone's homes, and then you have what was once not a flood zone, now a flood zone. Now I'm even thinking about getting one of these things that kind of surrounds the house and you make it kind of like a little island, if you will.
Like a bulkhead?
It's like imagine a large rubber tube, if you will, that goes around the house and it's filled with water. So it kind of mm-hmm. keeps water away. But my question is, you know, if I'm inland, you know, how likely is it that I'm going to be impacted by rising seas if I'm, you know, 5 miles or 8 miles inland?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, you know what I would recommend that you do, Renee, is you can assess the danger of flooding and water damage to your property on a number of different websites. There's one really good one that I like called floodiq.com. Just go to that website. Floodiq.com.
Okay.
Go to that website, type in your address, and you can look at projections 5 years from now, 10 years, 15 years. looking at the impact of severe storms like a hurricane and the flooding that can result from that on your piece of property. And that, I think, is a good tool. And there are some other tools like that on the internet as well. Climate Central has a similar widget, but that can kind of help you get a feel for how much of a risk you've got on your at your address. So I hope that's helpful.
And one more question. So let's say, you know, at this point, you know, if there's going to be so much possible flooding all over the country, where do we go?
Exactly. I know. That's what keeps me up at night. I know. Yeah. Oh, Renee, you're reading my mind, too. It's true.
Yeah, but Renee's kind of question points out that the, you know, sea level rise and climate change is not only along the shoreline here in the state of Florida,
right.
Given that
That's
we're
right.
built on a Swiss cheese of limestone where water is going to come up from below, even if you're miles and miles away from the coastline. Charles in Orlando, our last call on this, but you're trying to get into the housing market as a homeowner. Charles, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. So yeah, I'm a recent college graduate here around the Orlando area, and I'm actually getting ready to sign a 30-year mortgage for a high-rise downtown Orlando. So
for a condominium or the whole building, Charles?
For a condominium.
Okay, fair enough.
That's a very successful college graduate.
So yeah, just looking at like sort of the issues surrounded with climate change and flooding, for me being so far inland and being up in a high rise, I just kind of want to get your advice, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, the good thing here as a condominium, a high rise, you don't necessarily need flood insurance for your actual condominium, but you may need it for the building itself if you have assessed monthly assessment fees in those common areas, a parking lot, and obviously your lobby. If those are in a flood zone, you're going to pay money in your monthly assessment for that, and you want to make sure you understand that. But frankly, the other risk there is during a flood event, can you get in and out of your condominium building? Maybe you're on the 12th, 15th, 20th floor. You don't have any risk of being flooded up there, but you're not going to be able to get to the building itself. So how good is the flood protection in the neighborhood? What do the seawalls look like or the stormwater sewers look like? All these kinds of wonderful questions, Melissa, that you never even think about until you decide to become a homeowner in Florida.
And I'm wondering, too, is your question more about the fact that since you're in Orlando and you're inland, you're not as worried maybe about flooding as you are about the long-term value of your property and your 30-year mortgage? Is that more your concern?
Yeah, necessarily. So, I mean, you guys are making really good points. It seems with the limestone, and I just want to see kind of what your ideas are and how quickly Orlando, being so far inland and really being the center of the state, could be affected by something like that.
Sure. Yeah, and I honestly, I don't have the answer to that. Our experts have signed off on for this hour, so we're now just taking calls. But, you know, the projections range from really dire warnings to more moderate advice about how to look at your property value in the state of Florida. I would say, I'm not a scientist, obviously, but I would say because you're inland and because you're buying a condo without any land around it, you're probably in a little bit better position than folks living oceanfront. That would be my unscientific assessment.
Sure.
Of
the
this.
Supply and demand of this, though, as climate refugees look for other places to go in Florida, they're immediately going to look into the middle of the state, away from the coastline, in which case, Charles, as a new condominium buyer in Orlando, that may be a great purchase in the years ahead, as more and more from South and Southwest Florida and other places along the coastline look to stay in Florida and look perhaps to become residents in your area in Orlando.